Welcome to AO Performance Power Pod. This is Andreas. I'm back speaking English again. I'm right now in Washington, and I had the opportunity once again to sit down with the brilliant Dr. Bob Rakowski. Today, we're going to talk about sport nutrition for athletes. But as always, when Dr. Bob and I sit down and talk, anyone can learn from this. It's so much information. He is so brilliant. And if you haven't listened to our last episode we did, just go back and listen to that one too. You can listen to it probably like 10 times because it's so much information and it's so, so good. I always get so inspired after talking to Dr. Bob. And I hope you will get that too. So today we're going to talk about things like how bad is bad food for performance? What do you do if you don't like healthy food? Do we need supplementation? What is leaky gut? Is gluten good for you? Can we drink milk? It's so many questions I know many of you have. We're going to cover them all today. So enjoy this one and don't hesitate to shoot us an email at podcast@aoperformance.se or follow us on Instagram. It's AO Performance. And Dr. Bob's info you will get in the end of this episode. And here's Dr. Bob Rakowski. All right. This time, I'm also in the United States of America, in Washington, right now at a hotel room. And again, so happy to have my friend, Dr. Bob Rakowski, with me for another talk. We promise the listeners that we're going to do another one. So let's do another one. How are you, my friend?
You know what? I'm epic. And I got to tell you, you know, always good to connect with you. Super proud of you. You know, I don't know how much you do in terms of, you know, really sharing some of your personal stuff, but your son, first round NHL, you know, that's got to speak volumes to the what you bring to the world and to the athletic community. You know, you get someone, and what if they could spend their entire life with you? Well, now we have that case study, right? So now I'll tell you what, every time I've had an interaction with you, I walk away better, stronger, faster, smarter. So right up front, man, I love you, my friend. So good to see you again.
Wow, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to hear you speak so nicely about me. I really appreciate that. And yeah, it's funny because I've heard people say to me like, but I mean, it's like cheating for your kids to have you as a dad. It's almost like doping. They have free doping to have you as a dad. I'm like, yeah, what can I do? They're my kids, you know? So yeah, but it's amazing. I mean, to see your kid be drafted in the first round in NHL, and for me, because I've been working in this league for so many years, I think it's like 16 years now. And all of a sudden my kid is getting drafted. It's just, it's still unreal. It was in July. It's still unreal, but I'm so, so proud. And yeah, you're on point. We've done something right, I think.
Well, as we were talking before, you've done almost everything right. No one does everything right, but you've done almost everything right. Or let's just say as much right as anybody I know, especially with the way you work with your athletes. So again, thanks for making our world better, raising the bar for everybody.
Really appreciate that, and right back at you. So today we're going to use your brilliant mind again and talk a little bit more about, because last episode we talked about a little bit of sport nutrition as well, but we were more touching about like longevity and what's good for everyone. So today I'm going to focus like, sorry, if you're not an athlete like in sports right now, you will benefit from this anyway. So I know you have a saying that if like, average Joe, or if you call it like a people that are into sport right now, if they will take care of their body like an elite athlete, imagine how they would feel. Because I say that when it comes to my kind of training, because people, I know I train people different than the traditional way of training people. And I say, if I can make an elite athlete feel great in their body while playing an elite sport, imagine how the rest of the world would feel that don't have to destroy their body in an elite sport, right? So I think this is pretty much the same, right?
Well, Andreas, when I would lecture to doctors all over the world, I would ask, you know, what do you think is harder to do? Take a tenth of a second off of a world-class 100-meter sprinter's 100 or get a sick person out of bed. Yeah. And they all agree it's harder to get that 10th of a second off that elite 100 meter sprinter. But you know what? You do it consistently. I do it consistently. And, you know, my demographic is I do see some of those people sick in bed. You know, I've even had people that were, you know, in hospice on a death sentence that their family dragged them in. We got them on a good program and, you know, alive, not all of them certainly, but, you know, some of them are alive decades later. So what a blessing to the world to get to show people the way.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So before I get into, I got a lot of questions for you, but let's share a little bit about you. I want to know more about you because you've been around. I know you for like, I don't know, 10 plus years. And I'm always amazed when I listen to you, and I still am every time I listen to you. I got like, wow. So we're like, take me back a little bit. Like, how come you are so passionate about this, about health and you know, making this world a better place to live?
Well, interesting journey. You know, I tell people my foray in natural medicine started with a near-death experience. You know, I was playing in a city league football, American football in the U.S. I got hurt. Went to the medical doctor. They gave me muscle relaxers, painkillers. You know, I was in college. I went out on a date. I had one drink and I fell asleep behind the wheel of my car at 55 miles an hour. Now, my date grabbed the wheel, shook me. She said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know. I think I passed out." She said, "Well, I'm driving home." I said, "Yeah, good idea." Well, I get home and I pick up that bottle of opioids and other stuff, right? Which they shouldn't be giving anybody. And it says, don't mix with alcohol, don't operate heavy machinery. Well, bad deal that I didn't read it. I wasn't into taking pills. I just knew I was in a lot of pain. So I looked at that. I flushed it down the toilet. You know, I went to the gym, you know, the next day and said, okay, I'm going to rehab myself. And the owner of the gym looked at me. He says, you know what? You need a good chiropractor. And I said, what the heck's a chiropractor? And he says, my gosh, it's probably someone that can help you with your neck and maybe your shoulder. Go check it out. Well, I did. And Andreas, it was life-changing. You know, the chiropractor that I saw, big heart, great skills, whole, you know, in terms of making sure I was training right, eating right, supplementing right, you name it. He was complete and, you know, changed my life. And now likely through leverage, you know, tens of thousands, if not millions, because I've taught all over the world. So, you know, we never know what we think, say, or do and how it can impact millions, right? And that's a quote from a mentor named BJ Palmer, but powerful stuff. So, you know, I got passionate about it. And then you start getting success and you get more passionate, you know, and I start tuning up these athletes. And next thing you know, I get a call from Evander Holyfield's team. He says, look, you know, Holyfield has a fight at the end of the week. Can you tune him up? You know, he's got a challenge. I said, absolutely. You know, and I worked literally my whole professional career ready to see that. And I was ready when it came in. And, you know, thank God we're still friends today. I get texts from Evander almost every day. So fun stuff.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of the greatest as well. Like, wow. He fought Tyson, right?
Multiple times.
He bit his ear off?
Yeah, Tyson bit his ear off. But, you know, I want to share some good things about Evander. So, you know, I had a conversation with him, and he says, look, he says, if you give a really good kid $100 million, he's going to get into trouble. He says, you give a street kid $100 million, he's going to get into big trouble. He says, and Mike, the only thing he ever got accolades for was beating people up. And suddenly he's in the ring with someone he can't beat up. So what did he do? He did whatever instinct had. How do I get an edge on this guy? Heck, I can't punch him. I'll bite him, you know? And so he had no malice towards Mike at all. He says, you know what? Mike just needs a new savior, you know? And you know, Evander, what a great, you know, there's a cover story on a magazine. It's a God's champion, you know, and he's that. He is the real deal.
Wow, that's amazing. What a story. What a guy. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm proud of you. So that's a story. I actually didn't know that about the car thing and almost dying, but yeah, that will change your life or change your way of thinking, right?
And so remember, life happens for us, not to us. So ultimately, you know, I'm glad my date was there to grab it and then say, hey, do this, get home, look at the bottle. It's like, okay, this is crap. Go to the gym. That was a proactive step. And then the gym owner saying, man, you need a good chiropractor. And look at how these little things line up, you know, and Steve Jobs said this, he says, you know, we can't connect the dots looking backward, but we can't, or sorry, looking forward, but we can looking backward. And all those things happened for me. And by the way, probably your injury for you. And, you know, how wonderful that instead of you having a pity party about you not being able to perform at the elite level that you were really meant to do, how about transforming that and raising the game for every professional athlete on the planet that has the good sense to look at what you offer?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's if we're sliding into mindset a little bit, it's like Michael Jordan says, like it's every failure and every missed shot and everything that made him successful in the end. So I don't think anyone that's really successful today hasn't gone through something really bad, right? I mean, I know Michael Jordan, he got kicked out of the high school team, right? And that's why he like, this is not going to happen. I need to, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think Robin Sharma, you know him, right?
Of course.
Yeah. He said, like, there's no failures in life. It's just lectures. And I strongly believe that too. Like, if you see what's going on and you learn something from it and you grow from it, I mean, you will never stop growing.
That's the game plan, you know, and you mentioned some of my favorite people on the planet. You know, if we had a study of Michael Jordan, we might find that what's so fascinating about that is he was absolutely obsessed, you know, I absolutely obsessed. And how do you get to be the greatest of all time? Well, probably that level of obsession. Yeah. Now, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could all find something that we were that passionate about? And I'm glad that you have, and I have, and look at how it's, you know, the dividends it's paid in your world for your clients and your family. So again, well done.
Yeah, thank you. You too. But I was thinking when you say this, because it's let's say it's like 1%. I think it's less, but let's say it's 1% that actually turn pro in any sport, like pro. And same thing, like when it comes to like people want to change their life, they want to lose some weight, they want to eat healthier. It's hard work, you know. What do you think, can we do something more or better to, I mean, I don't want it to be 1% that will be healthy in this world. Because I know you said in the last episode that, was it 2020 or 2018, you said that the biggest numbers of death in the world is malnutrition, right?
Oh, well, that's been for decades.
Yeah,
it's very, very fascinating. But yeah, the Global Nutrition Report 2020 says every country suffers from malnutrition, number one cause of death, far and above. Yeah.
Wow. So why? Because people, we're going to talk about sport nutrition today. And I think every person listening to this knows that I should eat healthy because it's better for me. They know what healthy is. Everybody knows that candy is bad, that alcohol is bad, and they know what they shouldn't do. They know what they should do. They know they should sleep at night. They know, you know, people usually know what to do, but they don't do it. Why, you think?
Well, I think the question is answered in your question. They don't have a big enough why, you know? So one of my great mentors said this, even though we all have many, many missions in life, we all have one purpose. And he defines that purpose as to show up as our best self in service to something bigger than ourselves. Well, how about the way you and I look at it as our best and getting better self, right? Showing up in something bigger to ourselves. So you're changing the world of athletics. I'm doing my best to change the world of functional medicine. And you know, people are waking up to the importance of both of the messages that we share. But ultimately, I think a lot of people just haven't really connected to what is super important to them. And if they would, I think this whole world would be a better place. And you know what? The beautiful thing is it really doesn't matter what it is. You know, let's say that there's a gamer out there that just wants to be the best YouTube gamer in the world or whatever. Well, if you're going to show up as your best and getting better self, you still need to eat right, drink right, think right, move right, sleep right, poop right, talk right every day. And you know, then when we fine tune it and fine tune this machine, there's no doubt about it. You make your brain better, which is going to be dependent on what's going on in your body and so much related to motion. You're going to be a better gamer. That's all there is to it.
So true. So true. Great answer. So as I said, we're going to talk about sports nutrition today. So it's a little bit more focused on athlete. So how bad is bad food? Let's start with,
you know, adolescents or teenagers, like young athletes. Many of them doesn't like, if you put broccoli on the plate, they're like, oh, I don't like broccoli, I don't like veggies,
You know, do you think, even my kids said, like, when they were 14, 15, like, well, does it really matter what I eat now because I'm a kid? I'm like, yeah, it does. And especially when they train so much, too. I mean, they start to train a lot when they're 12, 13, 14. So what do you do about that? Like, people, young people that doesn't like their food, and how bad is it to eat bad food, so to speak?
Well, you know what? Every dose is bad. Everything counts. And so one bad thing once in a blue moon, not that big a deal, but bad things most of the time, every single day, you're going to fall apart. And, you know, I've seen plenty of these athletes, and I believe you have too. They don't make it for the big time, even though they could have had the potential, the skill, everything else, because they're getting injured. And, you know, I when I teach sports nutrition, I'll show a picture. There was a, you know, the Final Four, there was a basketball player. I think he was with Duke. He jumped up to take a shot. When he landed, his shin just burst through his skin. You know, he had one of the worst fractures you'd ever see. And, you know, one that you, maybe you could have more of a mechanism for, Anderson Silva, a great UFC fighter. He kicked a leg, and next thing you know, his foot kept going. And again, one of these worst fractures. And, you know, you ask, how can a young, healthy athlete have such brittle bones? And the answer is, if they don't have the right acid alkaline balance, which is really disrupted by bad food, if they have too much inflammatory process, really disrupted by bad food, you know, then this is ultimately going to chisel away at everything, including bone integrity, muscle integrity, ligament integrity. So, you know, we're seeing more and more young athletes needing major orthopedic surgery because they haven't built healthy tissue. You know, one of my Olympic coaches, he's frustrated, and he brings his people in right away because he says, my athletes can't train all out because their tissue can't handle it. If they were to contract with the power that they're capable of, they'd injure themselves every workout. So we got to get the tissue strong so the body can handle the strength that it's meant to have.
100%. And I talk a lot about tissue tolerance when I teach, and because that's what it's all about. And okay, so let's say I said bad food now, meaning, yeah, fries and fried food and really bad food. What do you say like the normal food? I would say they eat at school, they eat what mom and dad does at home, like okay food, but you know.
If I go back to myself, what I ate when growing up, I mean, it was not a lot of veggies, it was okay, it was regular food, but it's not super healthy, and that's not super bad either. Somewhere in between, would that be enough for a young kid growing up training hard?
Only if they don't have very big goals, you know. if they don't want to be a great athlete, if they don't want to be their best, if they don't want to be their smartest, heck, and let's face it, even this poor nutrition is affecting reproductive rate. You know, you think, okay, you want to meet the, you know, mate of your choice and have a beautiful family. Listen, every time you intoxicate yourself, you move yourself to hormonal imbalance, inflammatory process, stress issues, and infertility. And this is taking over the world. So you start looking at this and, you know, how bad is it? Well, varying degrees, certainly, as we'll tell people when we train, bodies respond to frequency, duration, intensity, quality, and timing of stimuli. Well, if you're frequently eating bad food and too much of it with very poor quality, whatever you want, you're just an accident waiting to happen. So, you know, what most people are eating is pure garbage. It really takes a lot to go the extra mile, and not just a lot in terms of effort. We're even talking a lot in terms of finances, but yeah. There's a great organic farmer, and, you know, he had this was even before when organic was more important, because there's a big gap now, right out there now. And he says, look, if you think organic is expensive, have you priced cancer lately, or diabetes, or cardiovascular disease, right? That's the path that too many people are leading to with bad choices.
100%. And question number two, so how do we help these kids that actually doesn't like veggies? And should we like force them or threaten them to eat this, or you're gonna die? Or no, really, how can we help them? Because I know there are a lot of them out there that doesn't like vegetables and healthy food.
Well, I'm going to have maybe a different answer than most people have. But the nice thing is the way that I look at people, I do a very thorough assessment. I assess their acid alkaline balance, their tissue resilience, their nervous responsiveness, you know, and you can do that athletically too. You're in a good position to do that too. And I say, look, we're going to do just a 1-week clinical trial. I just want a 1 week commitment. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to measure all these parameters, you know, and if it's not 10 out of 10 that gets better, 9 out of 10 gets better. And if 9 out of 10 doesn't get better, I ask them, you know, how compliant were you with this? And we find out that, you know, if they're compliant, it's pretty consistent that 9 of 10 are going to be getting better, or maybe we're missing something. But it doesn't take long to see that difference, to feel that difference. And when people are pushing themselves, you know, in a very measured and wonderful controlled way like you are, you can tell, you know, did we improve that run, that agility, that balance? And all of those count, and they can all get better in a week of a good program.
Yeah. So it's, let's say they have a mom and dad that works a lot, doesn't mm-hmm. care a lot. The kids is really motivated to be, I want to be a pro player in my whatever sport. But mom and dad are not that into sports. So they're serving the food that they like, and it's not very healthy. And this kid doesn't like healthy food either, because this is all he's been eating or she's been eating since he or she were born. How do we do that? We can't send everyone to your clinic and do a 1 week trial. So what's like some tip for these young athletes or these parents? That can the parents rethink? Can they do different?
Well, they certainly can, you know, yeah. And I've had plenty of heart to heart talks with parents, and, you know, it might be just this simple. Look, little Johnny here, he's on a mission. You know, he has a dream. He wants to be a professional athlete. And here's my experience. Everything counts, especially the food that's served at home. You know, and I've had kids that at age 12 have gotten a paper route or started cutting grass or doing whatever they needed to. And when they showed that commitment to mom and dad, you know, that, listen, it's not a week, when they're doing it for 3 months and stepping up and buying their own food. And then they see the change. They see the change in the attitude. They see the change in the mirror. They see all this wonderful stuff. They realize, hey, there's something to this. And I've seen 12-year-olds turn their entire family around. Now, the sad reality is most of the time the parents drag the kid down and sell them, you know, listen, you're crazy. You're not going to be a professional athlete. Yeah, I want to slap those parents, you know. Yeah. But listen, don't ever pull the plug on anybody's dream, especially your own kids. Mm-hmm. And if he's willing to step up, think about how that will serve them for their entire life. And by the way, that's what I have seen. When kids are willing to step up and take full responsibility for their wellness starting at an early age, their future is pretty bright. Now, 31 years in clinical practice, every single kid that I've seen over the years has stepped up, has certainly done way above average.
That's amazing. Okay, so let's just to the end of the line, that this, let's say this kid, they have the will, they want to be pro, they want to put in the work, but when they try to eat healthy, like broccoli and veggies and stuff, they just can't handle it. How do we do that? Do we supplement, or how can we help them?
Well, you certainly can, but you know what, when it comes to eating healthy, you know, when the coach is telling them, hey, you're doing your 15th set of wind sprints, you know, you don't say, I can't do it. You just do your best. And it's the same thing. So I believe if there's a will, there's a way. But let's face it, there are some very nice organic plant nutrient supplements. Now, believe it or not, Andreas, I haven't seen an aspiring athlete that said, I can't do it. I just haven't. Now, no. By the time they're getting to me, they're paying cash. They're usually high level, so they get it. But I have seen some adults, you know, and when we supplement high quality plant nutrients, you know, and you can get a capsule powdered form. And these nutrition companies have gotten pretty good. They can have USDA certified organic and sweeten it with stevia, and they can make it pretty doggone good. And, you know, and if we need to doctor it up and put it into a you know, some organic yogurt that has a little bit of vanilla flavoring, well, then go ahead and do that, you know. But I'll tell you what, when people are really eager, they find a way. The other end of the spectrum, it's the people that have said, well, I ate lousy for 50 years, so, you know, I don't think I'm going to change, but what's my next option? Well, then let's go with the supplementation.
Yeah. True, because I it's a funny, it's a recent story, because it was yesterday. There was an NHL premiere yesterday here in Washington, and I'm here helping Nick Backstrom with after his hip surgery, and so he wasn't playing yesterday, of course, because we're not there yet. But they were playing Boston Bruins, and in Boston Bruins, I had another client. His name is Pavel Saka, he's Czech, and he came from New Jersey Devils this season. And I know Pav for like five or six years because he's the best friend of Jesper Bratt. That's my client in the New Jersey Devils. And I said to him yesterday, because I met him after the game, and go, how do you feel? He's like, Andreas, I can't explain how good I feel. And because he started my online program in the spring, he's been working with me online during the whole summer for the first time. And I said, do you remember 5 or 6 years ago, you, me, and Nico Hischier, he was the first pick, first round pick, first overall from Switzerland. So these two guys and myself and Jesper were sitting in New Jersey at the rooftop talking about nutrition. And both of them said, what do you mean? So you mean it actually makes a difference what I eat? I'm like, yeah. Really? I'm like, yeah. Hasn't anyone said that to you growing up? They're like, no. I'm like, really? This is like, Nico is the first overall, drafted as number one. Pavel was number seven, I think. So this is two big talents. But they've been training and practicing so much that they got really, really good at hockey without even thinking about what they ate. You just ate garbage. But they had good genes, obviously, and they managed to put themselves together and didn't get hurt. But then the injuries started to come and the pain started to come. So I've seen Pavel Saka for 5 years now. I've been to Jesper every season, expect the COVID season where he couldn't travel. I've been talking to Pavel about things, and he's listening to Jesper. He's been inspired by Jesper, and he sees Jesper's success. And Jesper may be probably one of the most serious guys I ever work with. He is so thorough when it comes to everything. I mean, everything, every day from the moment he wakes up, he wants to get better every day. And last season, he had 73 points in 76 games. He exploded, even though the Devils sucked. So that was amazing. So that's when Pavel Saka go like, okay, I need to train the way Andreas trains and eat the way he wants me to eat. So, and he has got a one-year contract. So he knows that this is his season. He needs to perform this season and get another contract. So he stepped on my online program. So he lives in Boston. His girlfriend lives in Boston with him. She is from Boston. And he was in awe. He's like, I couldn't believe that you can feel like this with eating healthy, like healthy choices, sleeping better. I mean, everything is better. Even his relationship is better. I mean, his life is better. But he's like, the way I move on the ice is just ridiculous. He's like, before I end up in one situation, then I was gassed and I need to change. Now I can be in like a couple of situations and I can still come up with the puck and I still have energy, you know? He's like, and my mind is just clear. When I play, my mind is clear. He's like, there's so many elements to this. I said, I can't. He was so happy and he looks so good. I'm like, you look like a healthy athlete, you know? And it was funny because he showed my workouts for his dad, and his dad commented and he said, like, well, finally you're training like an athlete. Right? Yeah. So so I reminded him like 5 years ago, you had no clue that it actually made a difference what you put in your body. And today he's like amazed what kind of difference it does.
Well, thank God he didn't have a, you know, career altering or ending injury over that course of time. You know, I'm not sure if the first athlete you ever introduced me to, Johnny Oduya, Marcus Krieger, you know, they attended an entire sports nutrition course that I taught in Sweden. And they took it back at the time. It was the Blackhawks, and they changed everything around. Everything mattered. And then I was so pleased later on, guess what? They show up in Dallas for another event that I was doing on sports nutrition and endocrinology and everything else. And, you know, you have a great way of leading athletes to a better understanding that everything counts. And the real greats, they have a hunger for it. You know, they realize that and they want to apply everything that can make a difference for them.
Yeah, because I asked him that question too, because he had back problems, he got hip problems, he got foot problems before. And I every time I was there, I'm like, I can tell you why you have all these problems. But if you're not ready to do the work, doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference how good I am if you don't want to put in the work, right? But the day you're ready to put in the work, because we had a kind of a tough, rough talk before he started this spring. I said, Are you sure you're ready? because I need your commitment. Because if you're committed with my experience and my knowledge, that's going to be magic. But if you're not committed and you think I'm going to change your life without you doing nothing, not going to work like that. I'm not Jesus. So, but he's like, I'm so ready. This is it. Let's go. And he did it. He worked by himself the whole summer with my app and he killed it. And it feels great. Looks great on the ice yesterday. I was so impressed. So that, yeah, it makes a difference a lot. So I think we cleared that. So back to, like, I don't know how it is here in the US, but in Sweden, pasta, spaghetti is like the number one food for performance. You're shaking your head already for you who are just listening to this. Dr. Bob is just shaking his head right now. I know why you do that, but explain, like, I don't understand where it comes from. I know it's really cheap and you can eat a lot of it, but I don't think anyone that's tried to eat a lot of pasta before you want to perform, you want to go to bed, you want to sleep because you crash after that. You don't want to perform, right? But still, till today, it's just pasta is like religion. It's the shit. It's what you want to eat before you perform. Is it the same here in the US or is, I hope it's different.
Well, you know, among those that haven't been trained, yeah, for sure. You know, that's been so common for so long that people have been misled to believe that it's good. But now if we were to talk about the pasta here, you know, probably different from Sweden, because guess what? We're going to have genetically modified gluten grains usually as the base of this. But, you know, is there some benefit to potentially carb loading? Well, yeah, potentially, you know, especially if you've trained hard, you burn the glycogen out of the muscle, you can actually hypercompensate and you can put in some, you know, some carbs and you can have it stored as glycogen. And that insulin spike, especially after a hard workout, can work. But guess what? Pre-performance, you're not likely, you shouldn't be glycogen depleting at that moment in time. And you sure the heck don't want an insulin spike because that's also going to be pro-inflammatory. So if your reserves are pretty good and you do that, you're likely going to create an inflammatory circumstance, probably convert some of that carbohydrate to triglyceride. And guess what? When you're anaerobic, you don't burn that. And hockey is about as anaerobic as it gets. And, yeah. You know, what aerobic sport do we have? I mean, you might say baseball, it has a few bursts, but for the most part, they're not doing much. Maybe they could get away with it, but not a hockey player, not a UFC fighter, not a boxer, not NBA, not NFL, not Major League Soccer, none of that, right? So, you know, someone sold people a story way back when, and they bought it. Yeah. But, you know, I tell the story about carbs and gluten grains. So some people that have studied nutrition may know the name Barry Sears, and he wrote a book called The Zone, you know, in the early 2000s. And he and I were major lecturers at a conference in Florida at the time. And he put up a copy of the United States Department of Agriculture food pyramid. And, you know, 9 to 11 servings of, you know, gluten processed carbohydrates at the bottom, a lot of pasta and stuff like that. And his statement was powerful. He said, you know, if ever there's a terrorist like plot designed to destroy the health of the world, this would be it, you know? So I created my own food pyramid and life pyramid right at that same conference, and I've been teaching it ever since. But, you know, as a general rule, I like leans, greens, nuts, and seeds. You know, listen, your carbs can be green, you know, and if you do it just right, and by the way, post-workout, can we benefit from a little insulin spike? Sure, spike it with honey, spike it with molasses, spike it with really good fruit. But stay away, especially from the gluten grains.
So when you were talking about gluten, I know there's we were touching this in the last episode too, that where it's two sides to this, especially I think gluten is one thing that people are like, either like, no, it's not, it's okay. Yes, you can eat it. It's fine. It's just for the people that had like celiac, the disease that is dangerous for, but for the rest of the 99%, you're fine. You go, you can eat it and you can perform on it. It's not that dangerous for you. Why do you think they say that? Why do you think, and they like refer to science that, no, it's just dangerous for those who are actually having a disease and for everyone else, it's fine.
Well, it's certainly more dangerous for those that have a disease. So we don't want to get wrong about that. But, you know, when things are processed, I tell people, you know, there's debate about what is the best diet, you know, and you can look all over the world and you probably want to eat like your ancestors ate, but there's no confusion about what the worst diet is. And they call it the standard American diet, modern American diet, sad diet, mad diet, with all of these processed foods and genetically modified grains and tons of gluten. But bottom line is it's not an essential nutrient. It comes from things that people did not eat 10,000 years ago. So how much of our genetics changed over 10,000 years? You'd be shocked to know not much at all. But then you go back these last couple hundred years and how much has diet changed, especially with the processing revolution. Michael Pollan in his book In Defense of Food, he said, you know, something strange started happening in the 70s and 80s. Food started disappearing from the shelves of grocery stores and being replaced by food-like products. Yeah. You know, it was really chemical and genetically modified. And why? For shelf life and for overuse of herbicides, insecticides, fungicides. And we're beginning to see now that those choices are not just poisoning the people that are eating them, but all of humanity.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That says a lot. And as we were talking about, we can just touch on dairies as well, like milk products, because that's kind of the same in especially in Sweden. But there's one camp that says you can't drink milk. Milk is fine. Milk is great. It's a great source of protein. And there's another side that said milk is dangerous. Milk is for is from cows to cows, children. What do you call cows, children, calves? What do you call them?
Calves. Yeah. Absolutely.
We should drink milk from our mom when we're a baby, and then that's it. So if you touch a little bit on that.
Sure. You know, when you start looking at dairy, there's pros and cons to it. And any dairy anybody drinks should be organic, should be raw, should be non-processed. And by the way, I was at a conference where the PhD researcher, Andrew Keach, was presenting his data on colostrum. And by the way, this is one of my favorites. It's great for athletes. It's great for people. You can get a straight up colostrum and you can get it from a grass-fed organic cow. But let me take that little divergence and I'll come back to the dairy question. Mm-hmm. And what Andrew Keach said is he says, you know, let's start with things that people know. Most people know that mammals give live birth to young. Most people know that mammals nurse their young. Most people know that milk is different from different mammals. So human milk, different than cow milk, different than goat milk, different than sheep milk, different than killer whale milk. But the new data is that all mammal colostrum is identical. So it doesn't matter where you get the colostrum. It seals and heals the gut. It's passive immunity. It's really, really good. It was one of the great things for this virus that, you know, kind of got the world's attention over the last couple of years. But now when we start looking at the milk, not only are you getting the milk, but you're getting the hormones from the animal as well. And you start looking at a cow, well, it starts out, you know, whatever a calf is born at, but it's designed to go to up to a couple thousand pounds of body weight. Yeah. And that doesn't seem like a good match, but more specifically, and the study's been done on cow's milk contains some cow's insulin, and there's a rock solid connection. If people go to PubMed.gov and type in cow's milk and diabetes in humans, you know, especially type one, it can actually sensitize the body to start attacking insulin. And there's a powerful link there. And then you start looking at other things like estrogens and progestins. And let's put it this way, you know, we're intoxicated by estrogens at where it is. They did a study on horse estrogens years ago, and they found out, gosh, those are 8 times as strong as human estrogens. We're probably going to find the same thing with cow estrogens as well. And you look at that, and do we want these hormones? And my answer is, no, we don't. Absolutely do not.
No, if I go back to my history, I've been a trainer for 25 years, and I mean, I started early. I think it was really early. I did, Paul Check is someone both of you and I know. And he was really big into like organic and all this, like gluten free and dairy free, really early. And so I followed that. And that's pretty much the three things I kept from him is eat organic, no dairies, no gluten. And it changed my life at the time. And then I've probably been preaching this to my athletes and my clients for 25 years. And I'm gonna say to you this. I don't think that anyone that tried this for like at least a couple of four, five, six, eight weeks, I would say it's 100% will feel better or feel nothing. I would say maybe 1% will feel nothing, but no one has said it feel worse. So let's say it's 99% will feel better, 1% will feel nothing. It's that in my, and I've trained thousands of people over the years. For me, that's a pretty solid study right there.
Well, I would agree. And my experience matches. You know, our initial elimination diet is certainly going to be gluten-free, dairy-free, all organic, just the things that Paul Cech mentions. And he's a genius. And, you know, one thing I like to tell about Paul Cech is, you know, we go back 25 years ago and he bought absolutely every single education program I have. And, he's given me some nice shout outs at conferences and me too, always. He's a very special genius. Will anybody be harmed by eliminating those things? No, no one's going to be harmed, but I do want to make a qualifying factor. So why do people crave gluten and dairy? Gluten can be metabolized and in higher levels in higher people to what's called gluteomorphines, morphine-like compounds. So they get like an opioid type hit that they can become addicted to. Yeah. In dairy, there's also casein. Casein can become caseomorphines and they can get that opioid type hit. So people can actually have withdrawal symptoms over those first couple of weeks. But when's it going to be gone? For most people, by 3 weeks. So your very good qualifying factor at 21 days, you know, there are people that they're 10 days in and they say, I can't do this. I'm going crazy. Well, guess what? You're a drug addict. Yeah. And, you know, you don't realize that the drug that your body's making from that protein is disrupting your brain in a way that you don't want it disrupted. And what we often see is when people don't get that fix from gluten and dairy, they can switch to sugar, to alcohol. We got to make sure that they ride it out and don't make bad choices, you know, and once they're past that, and for most 3 weeks is pretty sufficient, then they get that upside where they start feeling really good.
Yeah. So for athletes out there, let's stay away from that for now, right? Yeah. Is it better to add or remove stuff to start with? Like, let's say there's an athlete listening to this now and eating okay, taking zero supplements, training pretty much every day, but want to do better. We want him or her to start with removing stuff first or adding stuff first? Or do you, a combo is the best? I don't know. What do you say?
Well, I actually do them both at one time, right? But for most people out there, getting rid of the bad stuff is going to make the biggest difference. Yeah. You know, so if people aren't sleeping at night, sleep. If they're not training appropriately, train. If they're not monitoring recovery, monitor that. If they're not, you know, if they're drinking soda, stop doing that. You know, I mean, there's, so for most people taking away, and Andreas, I taught a stress series around the world, again, sometime in the mid 2000s. And I would ask people, you know, what gets us most bang for the buck? Improving the athlete's resistance or person's resistance or decreasing their stress. And believe it or not, the room was pretty split. They'd say 50-50. And I said, well, let me tell you a story. I had a young lady come in and she says, you know, my biggest problem is headaches. And I asked her, I said, well, have you found a trigger for your headaches? She says, well, yeah, they usually occur after my husband beats me. You know, so that was a horrific circumstance where she, I mean, you know, people would often, they don't expect that answer. So it can be kind of funny, but it's a true story, right? So I don't care what she adds until she's not getting beat anymore and is in a safe environment, that's going to be it. But if you're beating your body with bad food, bad drink, bad mind food, bad environment, that's got to go. Now, the athlete that you described doing most things right, but not supplementing. You know, there was a study in the journal Advances in Therapy where they took people on a really good diet, not intoxicating themselves, and they actually biopsied the tissue and were able to measure the nutrient reserves. And they came to the conclusion that food itself just doesn't have enough nutrition in it to build reserves. And the conclusion of the article said this, therefore supplementation is advisable for everybody. So, you know, the person that's doing most things right, they're going to feel better doing a little more right. But the person that's doing most things wrong, they're going to feel better getting rid of the things they're doing wrong.
Great answer. So at what age do you think they should start supplementing?
You know, I've got four granddaughters, if you count one in utero, And they're all supplementing now, even the one that's in my daughter's womb. Why? Because she's taking prenatal supplements and the fish oils and doing the things that she's supposed to do, the superfoods. And, you know, if you give a child a better start, guess what? A better start's a better start, and it's a leg up on the competition. So, you know, so many kids are born with challenges. It's absolutely unbelievable. And they're not beginning to realize that it's because mom didn't have the right program. And, you know, if I have a bias towards who should we prioritize care towards, women who are in childbearing years and children, those are my top priorities, because that's when we can make the biggest difference. And we start those good habits. There's plenty of kids, my kids, your kids, they grew up in a good environment, and someone offers them crap and they go, oh, I don't like that. You know, there's something not right about that. Or, you know, I ate that and I'll tell you what, I don't feel good. Yeah. You know, okay, good. Now, you know, and, you know, eventually they're all going to try it. Right. But when they know what's good and they know how good they can feel, let's finish it this way. I tell people, choose your addictions wisely. When I would teach addiction seminars, I would tell people, you know, look, everybody's addicted to something. Why not be addicted to exercise? Why not be addicted to health? Don't be addicted to your smartphone. Don't be addicted to the junk food. Certainly drugs or alcohol. Don't be addicted to that. But let's choose our addictions wisely.
Yeah. So that's a great answer too. So let's say we have 12, 13, 14. Let's say in the beginning of the teens and playing sports, eating okay, but wants to add some supplements. What would you say, like, to start with? What's like a starting package for like a teenager doing sports when it comes to supplements?
So when Barry Sears drew his pyramid, right, and said, hey, if ever there's a terrorist-like plot, I created my own pyramid, which, by the way, has seven rungs. And I like to have every rung full. So first is food. If God made it, it's okay. If man made it, stay away. Then we go to superfoods. There's tons of superfoods out there. Some people call blueberry superfoods. Some people call honey superfood. My favorite superfood, consensus top superfood, reishi, also known as Ganoderma. You know, we have ways of getting that to people, whether it's in capsules or you know, hot chocolate, coffee, tea, things like that. And then we go with, I like functional foods. You have functional foods that can seal and heal the gut, modulate the inflammatory process, maybe help with insulin signaling, things like that, process out toxins from the system. Then I like a good multivitamin, which is often built into the functional food, a probiotic, omega-3s. And then I like the combination of D3, K2. Now, does a 12-year-old, do all 12-year-olds need D3? Maybe not. You know, if they got a decent diet, sunshine, maybe not. Do they all need probiotics? Well, believe it or not, if they've eaten all organic, haven't had any antibiotics, they may not need a probiotic. But, you know, I still like to cover all seven rungs because those are going to be first do no harm strategies. But I like all those things.
Yeah. Well, it's just so to start with, maybe they can start with like a multivitamin and multimineral just to start
You'll cover your bases with that. And you want that super high quality. Yeah, and when it's a good multi bioavailable with lots of the minerals, they'll probably feel a difference right then and there.
Yeah. And what age you think you should ramp up? Is it as soon as possible? Because I think like if you take a multivitamin for say, it's a multivitamin because there's a lot of vitamins in it, but it's not necessarily a lot of vitamin in one, like it's vitamin A or vitamin C or vitamin whatever. There's not enough of each of them because it's a multivitamin, right?
Correct.
So at what age, or is it more when you like enhance training load or training volume, you need to maybe step it up a little bit? Or what do you think? What do you think about that?
Well, let's talk about training for a moment, right? So when you're training, that's going to be a stress on the central nervous system. That's going to be a train on the muscles. That's going to be a train on recovery. That's going to be a strain on inflammatory control. And so we want to make sure that we have those things in control where the patient athlete is making really good, measurable progress. And, you know, you do functional assessments and my Olympic coaches do functional assessments. If this athlete's getting better, they're going to assume it's better. Then you have conversations. Are you hurting? Are you recovering? Are you sleeping? Listen, if you're not sleeping, you've overtrained. If you're not recovering, you know, you either overtrained or underrecovered. Maybe you're not getting the right amount of food. So we want to have markers to go off of. And so, you know, it's not a lot of 12, 13 year olds that I'm seeing, even though wouldn't that be awesome if I did, I start seeing them 16, 17, 18. Yeah. you know, when suddenly the stakes are elevated, you know, and by the way, it's usually an injury that brings them in, you know.
True.
So that's where we start having that conversation. And you know what, guys like me and you, we get them on a protocol for 3-4 weeks. Yeah. They're going to be our client for life.
Yeah, that's so true. So for anyone who's listening, it's you'll see everything that Dr. Bob and I would talk about is pretty much all individual. It's really hard to be general, right? To generalize anything when it comes to nutrition and training. But we're trying our best here to give you a few tips what you can do. So I have a couple questions here next to me. So I will read some. So let's say you're a hockey player. So you have it's a power sport. And your sleep is great and your food intake is great. You're eating really, really healthy, all organic, everything pretty much on spot. Do they need supplementation or not?
Oh, absolutely. If they want to, you know, extend their career, you know, and I tell people, I've treated a number of Hall of Famers, and here's what I know about every single one of them. They are more diligent than everybody else. They got that long career, mostly injury free, because they dotted the I's and they crossed the T's. And, you know, listen, there's anybody can be a flash in the pan. And, you know, you mentioned about the top draft picks 5 years in the league, they're breaking down. Well, we want to turn that to maybe 15 years or more. You know, and let's face it, you know, Father Time's still undefeated, right? He's going to catch all of us at some point in time, but we don't want that to happen 5 years in the league. And probably one of the most disappointing comments I'll ever get from anybody that comes into my clinic, you know, they turn 30 years old and they're falling apart. And I say, what do you think's causing the problem? And they say, well, it must be old age, you know, and guys like you are just going to laugh hysterically at that and go, old age, what are you talking about? You're not even in your prime yet, or at least you shouldn't be. But listen, if you don't treat yourself appropriately, you're going to age prematurely and you're going to break down. So, you know, let's start early. Let's be thorough. And, you know, again, these athletes that are stepping up and really changing the game for everybody, they're setting new standards.
Yeah. I think we're back to that 1% again, that the ones who really want to make a difference in their life. They really want to step up. They really want to do the work. And it is tough. I mean, if it was easy, like the whole planet would be healthy and just they all would be living their dreams, so to speak. So it's tough. I know that. So let's talk about a couple of these supplements, because I usually say that if you eat, like, as you mentioned too, vitamin D, magnesium, vitamin C, zinc, fish oil, omega-3s, maybe those five are like the most common ones and most known ones. And I'd say if you eat those, you have a good ground to stand on, right? So let's say, I know people are wondering, like, many have heard magnesium. I'm taking a supplement called triple magnesium because it's three different magnesium in that one. And some ask me, like, why is it more than one magnesium? I'm like, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that just to educate the listeners so we can make them feel better and do better. Let's start with magnesium. What does magnesium do for your body? Why is it important? And why is it different kinds of magnesium?
Well, when we start looking about what it does more than we could ever talk about if we had a month to talk about it, because it's estimated to be part of the enzymatic processing of over 80% of the chemical reactions within the body. So keep in mind that magnesium is the central molecule of chlorophyll, which is the lifeblood of plants. If we got a lot of plants, we get good bioavailable magnesium. It keeps the central nervous system calm. It's what's called a natural calcium channel blocker. So it's going to maintain the ideal rhythm of your heart. It prevents the brain from firing. That could mean anxiety. That could even mean seizure in certain cases. It alkalizes the system, and we start looking at that and you go, well, who would benefit from that? Well, how about everybody we know? And it just turns out, since we've depleted the soil, make no mistake about that, right? So we found out 100 plus years ago that farmers could grow a big plant with three minerals, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, but it takes 30 elements to grow healthy plants, animals, and humans. Notice in that NPK, they don't have magnesium in there, which is the top mineral that we need to drive our enzymes. Calcium's the top mineral in the body. By the way, that wasn't in there either. And that's why bones are falling apart as we speak about it. But when you start talking about different chelates of magnesium, what they know is that if the magnesium is tied to an amino acid like taurine or cysteine or glycine or arginine, it gets into the body more efficiently, and they can even target the tissue and have enhanced effects when they do these different chelates. You know, there's a cheap magnesium like magnesium oxide. And what do people take that for? To go to the bathroom, you know, because they're not going to absorb it. It's going to pull water into their colon. Hey, and I'm okay. If you're constipated, take some magnesium oxide. You're going to go. You're not getting the magnesium, but you're going to flush out your colon, and that's probably a good thing.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, magnesium, absolutely wonderful. We mentioned vitamin D. I'm going to get to that real quick, because very, very simply, every vitamin D is not a vitamin, actually. It's actually a hormone. Our body makes it, but you need good sunshine. You need good liver. You need good kidneys. And by that, sunshine has to be on your skin and without sun protection. And how many people are getting enough of that? Nowhere near enough. And so every single cell type of the body has vitamin D receptors. And that quite simply means every one of our tissues needs it. And it's estimated that 1 billion people around the globe are just all out vitamin D deficient. And, you know, our labs, we test vitamin D on everybody that we draw blood on. You know, our lab says, well, the upper limit should be 100, but yet in animal studies, and people can go to NIH.gov, in animal studies, they raise the blood level to over 400 without toxic impact. So yes. Someone arbitrarily said 100 is a cutoff. So it's pretty hard to get toxic to that.
Yeah.
You start looking at zinc. Zinc's going to be important for all of us. It's important for digestion. It's important for the immune system. It's a natural aromatase inhibitor. For males, it's going to be important for testosterone, for prostate, things like that. But here's what we know is that we're loaded with heavy metals. You know, if they were to take a skeleton of someone died tomorrow, as opposed to someone that died 200 years ago, the medical literature shows 500 to 1,000 times the lead in that skeleton. And then there's cadmium and mercury and tin and nickel and aluminum. And a lot of these things they actually call metalloestrogens. And so, you know, there was a researcher in the 90s, and this is the 90s, we're talking things were better in the 90s worldwide in terms of toxicity and things like that. But this researcher said, we are swimming in a sea of estrogens. Now, when you start looking at that, what do we see if that's a female? You know, we could talk about heavy menstrual cycles, PMS, uterine fibroids, endometriosis, fibrocystic breast cancer. What about a male? How about sexual dysfunction? How about male breast development? How about too much body fat? How about hypothyroid? How about depression? How about autoimmunity? How about prostate cancer? And these estrogens are poisoning humanity like they never have before. So the reason I mentioned the estrogens in tune with zinc is zinc, it creates in the body something called metallothionein proteins, and it helps to clear these toxic metals or metalloestrogens from the system. And fascinating, when we get to superfoods, you know, reishi or Ganoderma, they now have a study that it actually increases the body's production of metallothionein proteins about 800% within a few weeks. So it's a really good clearance aid for these metalloestrogens and other types of xenoestrogens. You start looking at vitamin C, there's only 4 mammals that don't have the ability to make vitamin C. Every other one does. And so Linus Pauling, who won 2 Nobel Prizes on shared, still the only guy that did it today, says, okay, we humans are kind of like a goat. When a baby goat is born, we call that a kid. It's, you know, 6 to 8 pounds. And when it's adult, it's 150 to 180 pounds. Yeah. So very much like a human, an adult goat in times of high stress will make about 18 grams of vitamin C a day. Yeah. So Pauling would take that as his baseline, 18 grams a day. In his late 90s, he was still, you know, publishing scientific papers and lecturing around the world with a phenomenal flair. And was there one more you wanted to discuss in detail?
Omega-3s, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, you know, one of the more impactful conferences that I was at years ago, you know, Dr. Sidney Baker got up there and he says, you know, here's one thing we know. Everybody out there is omega-3 deficient until proven otherwise. And so, you know, the world started looking at this in the 60s and 70s. And one of my mentors was actually hired to study the Greenland Eskimos. They had the world's highest fat diet, world's lowest incidence of cardiovascular disease. And, you know, thousands of studies published since then. But what they know is that omega-3s prevent heart attack, stroke, and cancer by 13 well-defined mechanisms. And by the way, our brain is the second highest fat tissue of our body. What's highest fat? Adipose tissue itself. So brain is mostly fat, and most of that fat is an omega-3 called DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. But there's been advancement in the omega-3 understanding over the last couple decades. A Nobel Prize nominated researcher from Harvard named Dr. Sirhan realized that the healthiest people actually convert these omega-3s to further downstream molecules that have been given the category name Resolvin. And these are now commercially available. Dr. Sirhan realized that people that were sick or toxic or, you know, whatever, they didn't do a good job making Resolvins. It took his team at Harvard a decade to create the enzymes to convert omega-3s to Resolvins outside the body. And when they supplement with those, they get the Resolvin benefit. So, you know, ever since I co-lectured with Dr. Sirhan at a conference about 8 years ago, he was sharing his research. And ever since then, I've put all of my patients on the Resolvin form of omega-3. And I'll tell you what, it's been a great advancement.
Yeah, that's incredible. So let's go back to we started with magnesium. So if we talk about how much and when, because most people say you're going to take it before you go to bed. Is it like 30 minutes before bed, or is it right before you go to bed, or is it 1 hour before bed? I mean, we're talking about intermittent fasting. Like you and I don't eat after like 7 p.m. or 7:30 p.m. Should I take the magnesium at that point, or can I take the magnesium like 9:15 before I go to bed, or and how much?
Well, it's going to depend on your form, right? So if you're taking a magnesium aspartate, you actually might get an excitatory effect from that amino acid. If you're taking magnesium taurate, that's going to cross the blood-brain barrier, give taurine, create a calming effect on the brain. That's really beautiful. So it's going to be the form. But, so if it's magnesium taurate, right at bedtime. If it's not one of those chelates, not excitatory, not neutral, then do it with your last meal because you're going to absorb it better with food.
Yeah, great.
And keep in mind, so by the way, minerals are not really on demand, right? They should be in our system. They should be in our bloodstream. Serum magnesium can be a good marker. When people are deficient, I like them to take magnesium to bowel tolerance. You know, I want them to take it. And by the way, they take it in divided doses. So you give someone a couple grams of magnesium, and even if it's a good form, they're usually going to end up, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to the restroom because it does relax the bowel and not all of it's going to get absorbed. But we take it to bowel tolerance if people are having cramps. And, you know, I've got video releases from Evander Holyfield, but, you know, one of the things that I found when I did my workup on him, he was the most acidic high-level athlete I'd ever seen. So keep in mind, you're looking at a guy that's 6'2 and a half, 217 pounds, less than 4% body fat, purely anaerobic, creating all this lactic acid. He was depleting his mineral reserves and especially magnesium. And I said, we've got to pick this up. And he said, would this explain why I cramp every fight? And I said, well, absolutely. We did magnesium bowel tolerance, you know, for weeks on end. And then in his next fight, he didn't cramp. So, you know, once we built that level back up, changed the acid alkaline, and all that counts, it can make a mega difference, even for a world-class super elite like that.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, myself, I take, if someone, I wonder how much I take like between 400 and 500 milligrams a day right now. And my magnesium levels are really great. I just did tests. My last test was 3 weeks ago, so I'm doing all right.
Well, and you know you are, right? So, but let's qualify this. You're doing everything right, and you're still supplementing with that, and I'm betting you know a difference.
100%, yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And then we go to vitamin D, right? And you're talking about sunshine. And does it matter? Because I heard it does matter what the color of your skin too, like the darker. Because I'm like, if you compare myself to maybe my sister, I get tanned a lot easier than her, so I'm a little darker than her. Yep. So I crave more sunshine on my skin than her, of course.
Yep.
So the, like the darker skin you have, the more sun you crave to create vitamin D.
And yeah, it takes more to get it done. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you need to have it on the skin, so you can't wear clothes on. You need to be like, yeah. So that's perfect. And and vitamin, you can store vitamin D in your body, right? For how long?
Until you use it, which is interesting, yeah. Right? So it's fat soluble, and it depends on your metabolic activity, your training load, stress load, all those things count. Even toxicity makes a difference. What I simply tell people is we want to monitor the blood levels, even though the lab upper limit is, you know, the lab I use is 100 units. I like it between 90 and 110. And when my athletes do that, they're really, really good. So the World Health Organization, they used to be credible. And when they were credible, they would say 10,000 IU was a good upper limit. And I found that to be true. But when my athletes are deficient, when my patients are deficient, I'll often give them 30,000 units at bedtime with a high dose and typically time release melatonin. And this will be applicable to our athletes, especially if they're in a catabolic state in super hard training. But the National Institutes of Health did a study on stage 4 cancer patients. This was a few decades ago, and they gave high dose vitamin D3 and high dose melatonin at bedtime, and they prevented lean tissue breakdown. And when I found that, I thought, okay, well, guess what? If it prevents lean tissue in a cancer patient, could it do the same for a really anaerobic athlete in a 2-a-day training protocol? And Andreas, we found that it did. So, you know, I'll give 30,000 IU at bedtime, you know, with 20 milligrams of melatonin time release. And I'll tell you what, these athletes sleep deeper, recover better, and have much less breakdown of lean tissue.
That's incredible. Because I take 10,000 in the morning and 20,000 at night. And as I said, I did tests 3 weeks ago. I still was like for an athlete, I was still like mid-range average on my vitamin D levels. And I still take 10,000 in the morning, 20,000 at night. I take a lot and still not enough, right? Which is weird because we had like the hottest summer ever in Sweden, and I was outside all the time. And still I can take a lot more.
Well, the good news is you're measuring it, you know it. Yeah. And let's face it, if we put your activity, you know, you're probably going to be not too many steps below people that are in elite training for a living, because you keep yourself that level of fit. So, you know, as you demand more of your body, you got to give your body more back. And how wonderful that you measure it and understand it. Because let's face it, if you didn't keep those levels good, there'd be some things that would go wrong.
Oh, totally. So if you look at my numbers and I take a lot of supplement of vitamin D and I still is average. What if, and I was outside a lot this summer because we train a lot outside and I love to be outside and I'm outside every day. And because I know it's really important for sleep and all that too, but I love to be outside. So I got a lot of sun and I still have an average result, even though I supplement a lot. So what if I took away all those supplements? I mean, imagine my numbers and I would be, I'm outside all the time. So I don't need supplementation. Obviously I do, right? So when you said this and you said melatonin, it hit me because someone told me, like, this is long ago. I don't remember who said it, but they said that if you take melatonin at night to help you go fall asleep or sleep deeper and better, they will maybe kind of interact with your own melatonin system in your body and maybe decrease your own ability to create your own melatonin. Is that true or no?
Well, the data is that it isn't. You know, there's no negative feedback. There's no decreased production. But, you know, Andreas, when we start talking about melatonin in the brain, it's very, very fascinating. We've got a gland called the pineal gland that makes melatonin that puts us to sleep. But the World Journal of Gastroenterology published over 20 years ago that the gut itself makes over 400 times the melatonin as the pineal gland. Wow. So here's the deal, right? When you swallow something, it goes in your gut. So if the melatonin of the gut crossed the blood-brain barrier, we'd all be asleep 24/7. That's not what happens. Now, if you have a leaky brain and you know, people that don't take good care of themselves, they can have a leaky brain and that could cross the blood-brain barrier. But with that said, melatonin has so many life critical actions. For athletes, it's a mitochondrial specific antioxidant. Mitochondria make 94.4% of human energy. If people wanted to go to PubMed.gov and type in melatonin and the hallmarks of cancer, medicine has identified 10 major things that go wrong in the body when cancer is progressing. Melatonin is a positive modulator of all those things. And they even know now that it's so universal in the animal kingdom that single-celled organisms like amoebas even make melatonin. So, you know, it's a molecule that I'm really excited about. And, you know, the vast majority of patients that I put on a protocol, we start with that. And often once we get people on that, they don't want to stop. It's just so helpful to them.
Wow. So you would suggest that all athletes take melatonin every day or before bedtime every night?
It's all a clinical trial, you know? Yeah. So, and so here's the fascinating thing about it. I was at a major conference and lots of brainiacs in the audience. And someone brought up the idea, what about the people that get really vivid, horrible nightmares from melatonin? Because there are some people that do that. And there was a, you know, 25-year pharmacist there. And she says, you know what, I decided to look into that deeply. And here's what I found. Those are actually the people that need it the most. Wow. And ultimately, the half-life of melatonin is about an hour. So what they would do with these people is they would dose some melatonin throughout the day, but stop 5 hours before bed so it was cleared out. And then they'd ultimately build up the reserve, get the body handling it better. They could move it closer to bedtime and then even take it at bedtime. And so I have talked for years about something called a stress reset. We give melatonin every waking hour because it actually binds to the adrenal glands and it buffers both chronic stress and acute stress. So cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine. Now an athlete that's going to compete, they probably wouldn't want to do a ton of melatonin before they got on the ice or the court or whatever they're going to be, right? We do theanine amino acid in green tea crosses the blood-brain barrier, a natural GABA facilitator. And I also do Ganoderma spores, which it took till 2021 to do the study where it actually lowers serum cortisol, circulating chronic stress hormones in the bloodstream. And then it's anti-inflammatory by at least 13 different mechanisms. I'll have people do that every waking hour, anywhere from 7 to 10 days. And for some people, it's like the boost in life that changes everything, puts them on the right track.
Wow, that's amazing. And so what do you say about these? Because I know sunlight is really, really important for your circadian rhythm and to get that melatonin to start releasing at night. So do we need, if you get sunlight enough and you're outside enough, do we still need to supplement it? It's my first question. Number two, melatonin should be really, really good for like us that lives in Sweden when it's like dark 9 months out of the year. And it's really tough to get sunlight enough. Maybe we should add more melatonin to our supplementation, especially wintertime. What do you say about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that everybody needs to supplement with it, you know, but keep in mind, I'm not seeing everybody. I'm seeing people that are either sick or they want to get the most out of their life. And I think in those categories, it's actually pretty good. Now, there's plenty of people that wouldn't need to supplement, but when you start talking about circadian rhythm, certainly light is very important for that. Blue light is a major disruptor of melatonin. So when you start looking at screens, if you don't have protectors or apps to cut out the blue light, you're poisoning yourself with bad light. But, you know, when you start studying this circadian rhythm, it turns out that in places where are dark, the primary regulator circadian rhythm in those 40 days of darkness is actually movement. And so we have more than one way of regulating the circadian rhythm. But if we have the benefit of fairly normal lighting, you know, then that would be a very important thing for us to do consistently. And by the way, when we're exposed to sunlight, the photoreceptors in our eyes are very important. You don't want to have sunglasses on. And there are people that even do sun gazing. And, you know, they report some pretty interesting changes there.
So true. That's really fascinating. So again, we're back to like individual adaptation. If you have trouble sleeping, if you need more deep sleep, you need to monitor your sleep. I monitor with this one. I love it. I love to see my heart rate. I love to see my heart rate variability. I see my quality of sleep. I see my deep sleep. I see my REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. And it actually, I love to measure it, but it actually makes sense to me every time. Because what I see and what I feel is not 100%, but let's say it's 92.5. It's a lot. So I think that measuring, and I think, I know when I go through stressful times,
I can tell by my heart rate at night and stuff like that. And so I encourage people to really monitor their sleep, because you will know a lot about how your body really feels. So moving on to vitamin C, I'm up there too. I'm doing like between 10 and 20 grams a day. I've been doing that for a while. Love it too. And I heard that sharks are the only animal in the world that hasn't caught cancer yet. And what they think is that's because they make 400 grams of vitamin C per 70 kilos of body weight.
Interesting.
That's why, yeah, that's very interesting. Wow. That's a lot. 400 grams per 70 kilo body weight. So that's a lot of vitamin C. And they think that that's one big reason why they haven't caught cancer yet. So we don't know yet, but maybe there's something to it. So yeah, I'm a big vitamin C guy. I think I've seen a lot of changes in people when they enhance vitamin C. Because as you said, humans can't make our own vitamin C. We need help. We're missing one enzyme, right? We have 3 out of 4 enzymes, I think.
Correct.
So we need to supplement that, because eating peppers and oranges, it will not be enough at all.
No, yeah. We still want to eat the peppers and oranges. You know, you get those plenty of colors, all those good 4,000 named bioflavonoids, and all with value for sure. 100%. You know, and by the way, that's the interesting thing, that people think they understand nutrition and all the ins and outs. I mean, quercetin got a lot of press because it had a nice antiviral action, but it's one of many thousands of bioflavonoids. Well, how do you get all the thousands? You eat, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables. That's the best way to get it.
Yeah. And I think that's the best common tip we can give, like athletes and young athletes and athletes overall. As you said, like perfectly, eat a lot of colors every day. I eat different. Don't think about it as veggies. Think about it as colors. What am I going to eat today? I'm going to eat as many colors as I can every day, right? So that's a good thing. And maybe not start with, if I do 20 grams of vitamin C, maybe not start with 20 grams, maybe start with more than you do today. Let's start there, right? And step it up. So I know we can, again, talk for hours about this, and we will probably do another episode. but I get one more question for you from Nick Backstrom, actually. So he said he's really interested in the gut and gut health. So gut health and high performance. That's what he had. Like, his question was, what about the gut and the gut health for high performance? How important is it?
Well, it's important for everything, not just high performance. But if we go back to Hippocrates, you know, we go back a couple thousand years ago, he said all disease starts in the gut. Well, he wasn't right about that. It's not all of it. But now you go to modern research and they really break it down. It's about 90%. They can trace 90% to the gut, to the digestion, to the microbiome. And so when you start looking at the brain, there was a book written by a medical doctor named Gerber years ago. And it was called Gerber. The gut, the second brain. And if you look at by volume, the gut actually makes more brain chemistry than the brain. And it's going to be important for absolutely everything. So, you know, if you want an athlete to be sharp and performing well, take really good care of that gut. Let's take the other side of that. Do something to mess up their gut and then put them out and see how well they do. And I promise you, it's not going to be anywhere near it. So it's going to be absolutely important for everything. And when you look at where people start having challenging, you know, we've got half of the population reporting chronic gut disturbances. And Andreas, I even have gastroenterologists that will attend my conferences, especially about gut. And they say, my gosh, we haven't been taught any of this. But I always tell them, you know, we solve this with 5 questions. Number 1, what are you eating? Number 2, how's your digestion? Number 3, what kind of bugs live in your gut? Number 4, how often do you poop? And number 5, do you have a leaky gut? And, you know, in people that are having challenges, too often 5 for 5 are bad. And so, you know, we can get those better, usually in record fashion. I mean, the right program, 7 to 10 days, that gut's going to remodel. And if we give it what it needs, it's going to be a lot better than it was, you know, not too long ago.
Okay, 2 follow-up questions right away. How do you know what kind of bugs live in your gut? How do you know that?
Well, if you really wanted to have it tested, you know, they now have labs that are doing a very good job with that. But here's what I'm going to tell you. They've now looked at you know, microbiome over the world. And there's an advantage to what they call the diverse microbiome. Yeah. You know, the more species, the more variety. And people that live in natural places, eat natural organic food, and aren't exposed to the herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, you know, they have 30, 40,000 species of bugs in their gut. Then we get over here and, you know, you think you're doing good if you have 10,000, because we don't have the variety of diet and we're constantly being exposed to things that are bad for that microbiome.
True. And you mentioned leaky gut. Explain what leaky gut is.
Yeah. So when I would teach this, I'd show a picture of a shark tube that has people in it. So imagine there's a shark tank with great white sharks and they're hungry and people are walking through that tube and it's glass and you can see your gut is a tube. And in this case, you might be the food. Well, think about that. If you had a leaky gut, that food can get out into systemic circulation. And let's face it, if you get the analogy of the sharks, you'd say, well, that wouldn't be quite good. But, you know, we're designed to absorb amino acids, dipeptides, tripeptides, three at most, like glutathione. And that's even minimal absorption through the gut. But by the time you have four or more amino acids, the body will perceive that as a foreign protein. And it'll go and attack it. It'll create an inflammatory and immune response. I think my landscapers are here. Are you hearing that in the background?
No.
Oh, well, I think I might close my door because I'm hearing them loud and clear.
Okay. So
I kept the door open so the dogs weren't going to be disruptive to our call. But
I love the barking dogs from the last episode. It makes it live.
It does. It does that.
Yeah. So then it's the same protocol. If you want to work with a leaky gut, you can just do really good stuff for 7-10 days and then just reprogram the gut or the leaky gut syndrome.
You know, glutamine is pretty specific to being one of those really good things for the gut. Vitamin D, really good for the gut. Colostrum, really good for the gut. And you certainly don't want to aggravate it. And then you got to make sure you're digesting appropriately. And you'd be surprised how many people are deficient in hydrochloric acid. And there's people that are deficient in hydrochloric acid, and then they get acid reflux. Now that goes back, you know, more than 30 years in the medical literature. When you have low hydrochloric acid, you're more likely to have reflux. And then they're blocking their hydrochloric acid, and they're setting themselves up for serious challenges if they keep that going too long without really addressing the cause.
Well, I hope that was, I'm sure it was a really good answer for Nick. And for all other athletes out there. So let's conclude this a little bit. So supplementation, we would say, is pretty much a must for all athletes if you want to reach your goals and dreams. And really, you're really serious about your sport. And if you have, like, if you are, or if you have kids that doesn't like particular food, get over it.
Yeah.
If you want it bad enough, you can handle it. I mean, I promise you push, as you said, brightly, you push yourself at the gym, you push yourself on the ice or on the field. I think you can push yourself at home as well. I think that's a great way to put it. And I mean, a lot of colors every day when it comes to the food. Eat clean, organic. And I think we are back to what we said in the beginning, Adeline. Most people know what healthy is. But if you want to be like the high level athlete that I know most athlete wants to be, you need to put some effort in, right?
Well said.
And, yeah, thank you. And going back to my first question and my first, that I said, we're going to talk about sport nutrition. We know, both you and I and the listeners too, but I want to mention it anyway. We know it's a holistic approach to everything. We were just talking today about sport nutrition. We were not touching a lot on the mindset or the mental aspect of everything, or a lot about training, a lot about sleeping, a lot about, there's so much to talk about for optimal performance. Today's episode was just mainly about sport nutrition and supplementations for anyone from young age up to pro super athletes, world champions and Olympic champions. So, again, I'm blown away as every time I speak to you, there's so much knowledge in that little head of yours. It's incredible. I'm so impressed. You're amazing, my friend. I love to talk to you. I love to listen to you.
Well, back at you, you know, and thank you for making our wonderful world better. We're a good team. You know, at some point, you know, anybody who grabs this and starts taking some action on it, their world is going to be better. And, you know, let's commit to doing it again and maybe often, because I certainly love you and love talking to you.
Same, right back at you, man. So for now, thank you so much, my friend, and I'll speak to you soon. And I forgot this last time. I apologize for that. Where can people find you? Because people were asking me, where can I find this guy? So where can they find you on social media and everything?
Well, probably the simplest website is thedrbob.com, thedrbob.com. So there'll be Instagram links, Facebook links, YouTube links. And, you know, we've got lots of good topics. So, and by the way, if you have any questions, send them, because, you know, I love having references for people that have a genuine interest in making their life better.
Yeah, because if you're listening to this and you know someone or yourself needs help, like really professional help about the subject we're talking about, I always send people to Dr. Bob. Always. I know you have patients from me, and they are all so happy, and because the results are incredible. So if you need his help, don't hesitate to reach out to thedrbob.com. Love that. Amazing, my friend. Thank you so much. And I see you soon and speak to you soon again.
Thank you, Andreas.
Thank you. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.